is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The calendar has made the turn to July, which means NFL training camps weeks away. We've got NBA free agency getting off to a crazy start today, and so much more to get to over the course of the next hour as we welcome you into the Lombardi Line, presented as always by DraftKings, live on DraftKings Network and VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We got VSiN's own Ben Wilson coming up in about 15 minutes. Get his NFL best bets from the betting guide. Also, former NFL wide receiver Mike Pritchard is going to join the show this hour as well. But for all the NFL talk we're going to have, we have to start in the NBA, yes. Michael, because your team has made you as happy as can be, didn't they?
They never make me happy. Impossible to make me happy. I'm grumpy about them all the time because I just don't agree with this vision of Daryl Morey, who is allegedly the greatest general manager in all of basketball. I don't agree that it takes three and no one else. Like, I think it takes a team. I think it takes toughness. And part of this is, you know, in Morey's defense, the three he's counting on, one guy's always hurt. He's always hurt. So if I write down the plan on paper, we're going to get one player who's in the top 10 in the league. We'll get one player who's in the top 20 in the league and one player who's in the top 30 in the league. And between those three guys, we should be really good. Okay, that makes sense in theory. The problem is the guy you're counting on to be in the top 10 in the league, he's never in the top 10 because he's never healthy, or he doesn't play all the time, or he's hurt at the wrong time. So, like, for me, I'm not going to get excited. I think Thomas Gable in the last hour said it perfectly. You know, on paper, if this team's healthy come next April, which it won't be, but if it is, and that's a big if, I mean, they're the Jets. I mean, can you imagine I'm rooting for a team that's just like the Jets?
Michael, I kid you not. Painful. I was literally
I
about to say.
I just talked myself into that.
With all of the ifs that you were mentioning in that statement, I was so close to saying they are looking like the NBA's version of the Jets right now. They are the NBA's ifers.
They are the ifers.
It feels like
instead
that.
Instead of the 76ers, let's call them the 70 ifers. There you go. It's perfect. The 70 ifers. If they're healthy, they won't be.
It has an unfortunate ring
it's
to
perfect.
It. It has an unfortunate ring to it.
It does have a perfect ring, yeah.
But with the Paul George side of it, I think that your point is so warranted and well taken because while, yes, he did play 74 games this past year in a contract year, the previous four with the Clippers, he missed 40% of those games. He was on average missing 30 games per season. And now you tie that into the Joel Embiid effect of it all, and he can't stay on the court at the end of the season when you need him the most. And obviously you've made numerous points and examples about the lack of energy that he has on the court and not taking care of his body in the right way. It's a big concern. And at 30 years old for Joel Embiid, the way he plays in the injury history that he has, you wonder how long that window can be open for Philadelphia.
Well, they better hope he doesn't get hurt on preparing for Paris. I mean, you better hope he doesn't get hurt preparing. Elliott's going to go see him. I count how many times he's on the ground. Mm-hmm. Here's what's fascinating about this franchise called the Ifers, okay? That 4 years ago, they had no interest in signing Jimmy Butler to a four-year deal because they were worried about how old he was going to be at the end of the deal. And they didn't want to guarantee the fourth year. So off he went to Miami, and they traded him for Josh Richardson. And they gave that money to your man, your friend, Tobias Harris, okay? They gave that to him. And now we're giving a guy who's older than Butler 4 years and in the fifth year. Like, where is this going? Like, does anybody think that these guys are going to stay healthy? The league has told us they could care less about awards. When you're making $212 million, you're no longer about awards. And this is not about Paul George. This is about team building. I love the Maxi deal at $204 million. He deserved it. He worked his ass off. He'll play 5 years. He'll play his ass off for 5 years. You know, I wish he were taller. I wish he were longer, all those things, but he deserved what he got. But I'll be damned if you're going to think you're going to convince me that Paul George and Joel Embiid are going to stay healthy next April against a younger Celtic team. No chance.
So let me hit you with all the deals here that have transpired. The first Woj bomb with Paul George came through at 3:30 a.m. Eastern late last night. Four-year, $212 million max contract there. Maxi, who you just mentioned, 5 years, $204, as well as a handful of other deals, though, all in an attempt to support Joel Embiid. Kelly Oubre Jr., 2 years, $16.3 million. Andre Drummond returns to Philly on a two-year, $10 million deal. Eric Gordon, who declined his player option in San Antonio, he comes over on a minimum contract. And then Tobias Harris, who you mentioned, out the door. He's headed back to Detroit on a two-year, $52 million deal. And again, I just cannot believe how much money Tobias Harris has added to the bank in his career. Unbelievable.
Oh, only in America. Only in America that you could do that. Never really play, win, never make an all-star team, right? I mean, give the kid credit. He plays hard all the time. But the one thing I'm not going to miss about Tobias is that because that contract was such a burden on his shoulders that he felt like he had to put points on, and so he tried to take the game over, and he never had any self-awareness. You know, but as Brad Stevens talks about this about the Celtics, they have self-awareness. What do the 76ers lack? Self-awareness. Embiid actually thinks he's working hard. Can you imagine that? He actually thinks he's in good shape. Of course, the media convinces him he's in good shape, too. You know, oh, he's fine. There's nothing wrong with him. Oh, right. I got that. Sure. Why is he tugging on his shorts after the first time? I mean, even Doris Burke's screaming that he's out of shape. And at least she's got the guts to say it. You know, Wemby's over there. Windhorst is over there complaining about Luka, and he's in the finals complaining about his condition. He never said a word about Embiid's.
I love that you're like, he's out here in warm-ups and he's gassed in warm-ups. How do you expect him to do anything
he's
on the gassed.
Court? He's gassed in warm-ups. The game I went to, Stormy, he didn't even come out for warm-ups. I took my grandsons.
Got to conserve
We went up
energy.
To the game. And yeah, and I'm like, and Mick, my son, says, Dad, where's your boy? And I said, I don't know. He probably won't come out. He's too tired. You know, he didn't come out. He didn't come out.
Not a good look.
He didn't come out. Okay.
Not
no,
a good look.
Of course not.
The Boston Celtics are your favorite to repeat in the East at plus 295, but the 76ers now, with the deals that they have done over the last 24 hours, leapfrog the Knicks in the East, as well as a number of teams in the championship odds of the second shortest shot now at 8-1 from 13-1 down in the East. They go from plus 550 to 4-1. And Michael Lombardi says, don't do it. We're talking about all this money changing hands, all these deals getting done. And with that in mind, July 1st always sparks something very special in your mind and a number of others across the country. So what's on Michael's mind today?
Well, I mean, with the NBA handing out money, you know, only to be overshadowed by Bobby Bonilla and the Mets' horrendous contract. Remember, you know, the Mets paid him, gave him a contract where he had like $30 million coming, and they were going to give him $1.193 million per year. So far, they've given him $16.7 million. And on July 1st, they have to pay him $1.1 million, and they still have $11.9 million to go. This guy's just collecting money left and right. I mean, he played good at one time, whereas Tobias Harris was never really an all-star. So you don't want to replace – I mean, Barry's still getting his checks. Tobias is going to put it all in the bank. But this is just – this is what makes America a great country, because where can you do nothing – for the next 16 years and earn 16 points, next 11 years and earn $11.9 million.
Well,
I mean, think about it. It's just a wonderful thing.
And it's funny, Michael, because this was for the Mets in 90, like, he hasn't played a game for the Mets since 1999. And this was like a get him off the books contract. Instead of paying him $5 million at the time, they say, no, we're going to defer this until later. And with an 8% interest increase. So instead of $5 million, he's making $30 million over a 25-year span, 61 years old. There is a handful of notable players this season who are making less money than Bonilla, who is 61 years old, doing a whole lot of nada over the last however many years, including Gunnar Henderson and Ellie De La Cruz. Is that not wild to think? Like, we talk about Kirk Cousins, and we were making all the jokes about Tobias Harris, who career earnings $300 million. My goodness. Just generational bag getters are what we called them. How about Bonnie Bonilla, the original, the OG? This is incredible.
It's really remarkable, right? And so it's just, it is. But look, here's where I think fans make a huge mistake. is the business that we cover, you and I, is the entertainment business. Now, that's what it is. Because of the value, the TV rights, the reason the money's there is because of the TV rights. I mean, think about it. The NBA ratings were down this year. Nobody, you've not seen one rating for the NBA Finals, have you? You won't see it. That thing's buried somewhere. The worldwide leader's never going to show you that, right? They're never going to show you that because the ratings are horrendous. They were horrendous. But they're still getting networks to buy them, and which is good for the players because that money goes to the players. Whereas in the NFL, the top 20 shows in America last year, what, 19 of them were NFL games? Mm-hmm. I mean, they put strong numbers. What's fascinating to me, Stormy, is I was just talking about this with the great Bill Berman, is how NBA teams are now for sale. When the past that was, remember Mark Cuban said they were going to take over the NFL. He sold out. The Celtics are for sale. Like, you can buy NBA teams. What you can't buy is full NFL teams. You can buy some equity in a team. Doesn't do you any good, but you can buy some. But you can't buy an NBA NFL team because the value of those teams are going to continue to rise.
Well, and I was going to follow up with that. Like, how hard is it to – I mean, we see the hoops that Tom Brady has had to go through to try to get some sort of minority ownership stake in the Raiders, right? Like, how much more challenging is it to be a part of the NFL ownership group than other leagues?
It's really hard because in the ownership, their bylaws say one person has to own the majority of the things. And I mean, they really bent over backwards to let Josh Harris come in because it's $6.2 billion. Who's got $3.5 billion laying around in the bank? You know, other than Mr. Bezos and Mr. Musk, you know, and Mrs. Stormy. I mean, other than that, who has $3.2 billion laying around the bank?
Listen, I'm still just trying to see if one day I can get that Bobby Bonilla money, which doesn't appear to be the case. We got to hit the break. Fun conversation. Ben Wilson is going to join us coming up next. He has a futures awards market bet that I know Michael Lombardi is going to love. We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's finally here. The wait is over. Our all-new NFL betting guide here at VSiN is out now. But you need to become a VSiN Pro subscriber to get the guide and everything we have to offer. Our all-new betting guide has in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, betting trends, and more. Plus, of course, our top experts are offering their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you all the insights you need ahead of the season. But again, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, and for a limited time, to get our annual subscription to VSiN Pro, you can do so for just $199, usually $240. But when you use our promo code Lombardi, we're giving you that deal as well as an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including the daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits, and the guides. Don't miss out. This all-new NFL betting guide out now. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe and use that code Lombardi to cash in. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. And let's keep the NFL talk rolling with Ben Wilson, who has, of course, sat in this seat and hosted the show a number of times. VSiN host, betting analyst, play-by-play as well for just about every sport you can imagine. He joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Ben, what is going on, my friend? Thank you for joining us.
Wow, great to see both of you. Normally, I would say Elliot Bowman, our producer here, top of the VSiN producer power ratings as far as booking guests. But I mean, he booked me today, so he's got to slide a little bit, at least like one spot. But great to see you guys.
Michael, that just elevates him, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it does. I mean, great get you. Good to have you, Ben. We appreciate you being here and appreciate your contributions to the guide. So as we go through all this here, you know, I know that you and I are on the same page on Mike McDonald, the coach of the year, 22-1. Tell us why you like that one.
Sure. Yeah. First off, I'm glad we're on the same page, Michael. I feel like that happens rarely when we're, sometimes we butt heads on the show. But I looked, you know, starting at the odds, especially for
not
Coach
true,
of the Year.
Stormy. Not true. Not true, Stormy. He just, when he goes down that analytical lane all the time, you know, sometimes I'm like, hold on, we got to come back here. Let's come back to reality. They are not just Coke machines out there.
I leave and the fighting ensues. Go ahead, Ben.
Mr. Analytics over here. Yeah. But look, I started breaking down the Coach of the Year odds, and it just didn't make sense to me where you have the top five guys on the odds board. Their teams, their head coaches of all have win totals of at least 8.5, and they're all shaded over. Four of those five have their teams favored to make the playoffs. Jim Harbaugh for the Chargers is the only coach of a team who's not favored, and they're plus 110 and getting a ton of hype and buzz in the offseason. That doesn't really jive with how this award is usually voted on historically. It's usually young coaches taking over teams with expectations that are either extremely low or are kind of middle of the pack. And that's where Mike McDonald really fits in here for Seattle. That's why I landed on him here at 22-1. Thought it was a great value play where, look, the Seahawks are 7.5 win total, almost 2-1 to make the postseason. And what was the biggest deficiency for the Seahawks last year? It was a defense that was 31st against the run, 26th against the pass. And now you bring in a guy in Mike McDonald who was an elite defensive coordinator leading a top 10 Baltimore unit the last 2 years. I don't think it's a stretch to think if he comes in and is able to execute the way he was in Baltimore to a Seattle unit that has a lot of good individuals on that defense. It's just a matter of getting the scheme right. You couple that with an offense that was top 15 across the board last year. And Michael, I'm sure that was part of why, you know, you're somewhat higher on the Seahawks this year. But to me, I mean, the path is there for Seattle. And if they're a wild card team, you know, they don't need to overtake Stormy's Niners and just win, you know, 14 games in the NFC West for McDonald to be a legitimate candidate here. You know, they make the postseason, and I'd say he's got to be live. He has to be one of the finalists there to win that award. So it was a way for me to start a portfolio there with a really good number at 22-1.
So with that in mind, Ben, obviously it's not going to be the same bang for your buck as 22-1, but have you thought about any interest in correlated plays with the season win total, or maybe an alternate season win total, or a plus money price on Seattle to make the postseason, just because, you know, there are certain parameters for a coach of the year that the team must execute XYZ to get there. It's typically a 10-win season, making the postseason. Any interest in any of those alternative ways to bet them as well?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to look at it too, as bettors where, yeah, is it the smartest thing to just say, throw a unit 22-1, forget about it, and, you know, go on with the rest of your betting? Probably not. I think the best way to do this, maybe split up a bet that you were going to make in, you know, in half, like take a half unit on Seattle to make the postseason, because look, we always see changing of the guard as far as playoff teams, especially now that we have the seven in each conference. And to me, Seattle, based on the schedule too, it's pretty soft to start the year where, you know, the first four games, the only road game is at a rebuilding New England early on in the season. So certainly how I would do that, Stormy, I think it's a really good suggestion by you. You split this up, maybe a half unit on McDonald at the 22-1, and then you know, you can get as high as plus 190 to make the playoffs. To me, that's a really good way to play them. I hear going into the preseason, you're not, you know, totally tying yourself up on minus money plays here. I think it's betting on, you know, variance on the positive side, and you can see a path. It's not easy. It's why the odds are where they are, but I certainly see a way forward for Seattle to have a lot more success this year.
I love the Milwaukee jersey behind you. How are you feeling about Doc Rivers as your manager there? Are you enjoying him as your head coach of that team? You don't have to answer that now. I just want you to experience a full season of Doc. I really want you to enjoy that. I did. He's got every excuse in the book. Look, he can go deep on those excuses now. I mean, you know, Damian Lillard didn't practice all offseason. That was one of them. I love him. Nobody's better than that. But since we mentioned your home state, I know Super Bowl predictions are hard, right? I know that. I get that. It's hard for all of us. But I noticed that you had a little hometown homecoming there with your Super Bowl prediction. Explain, please.
I might be buying into the Kool-Aid, Michael. I think also the...
They got you.
The convenient thing to do, and we've all been burned by this, is when you have not been, hurt by something before, or you don't have any negative data on something new, you're going to believe. And so
like
I believe
my 76ers
right now,
relationship, like my 76ers. I have a lot of negative data on that. Right. Okay.
You do have a lot. Hey, so far though, we don't have any negative data on Jeff Affleck coming in as the new DC. I mean, all the reports from OTAs have been really positive. And let's be real here. I mean, Green Bay over the last two decades, outside of the, it's really since the Fritz Sherman run of the late 90s, with the exception of a couple of Dom Capers seasons in the, you know, the late 2000s, early 2010s, defense has been the Achilles heel for Green Bay. And once Jordan Love matured into a top 10 quarterback at the end of last year, it was defense that, you know, that let the Packers down in, you know, in choking against San Francisco, a game they should have won. You bring in Halfley now. I like the kind of the new sort of lingo, the new style, and just a fresh perspective he brings, because, you know, Joe Barry, I think we were all sort of surprised that Matt LaFleur kept him around an extra year into 2023. And you know, that decision backfired. I mean, it's a roster and a defensive personnel grouping, guys, that you know, is solid. It should not be a bottom 10 unit each of the last 2 years, which it has been. So if you believe, kind of similar to what we were just talking about with McDonald, if you believe that Hafley, who has been very good at the college ranks, he's not proven at the NFL yet. And again, you're putting faith into that. But if he comes in and is able to work a little more magic here, and I think use that kind of that, you know, that newfound language, that new perspective here on a defense that has a lot of good pieces, that to me is the missing puzzle for a team that, you know, I thought power ratings wise at the end of the year was, you know, I only had them about a point and a half off of Detroit, who, you know, was so good statistically and is everybody's darling heading into this year. That to me is a team I certainly believe. I expect it to take some time, but it's a team that peaked at the end of last year, and it's very reasonable, I would say, to expect that that would happen here at the back end of this year. And that's why I have him as a wild card team, but a very, very dangerous wild card team at that.
Yeah, and Jordan Love, of course, the back end of the season prior to that playoff loss was looking unbelievable. Season win total set at 9.5 to make the playoffs. Odds on, -155. Now, the team you have playing the Packers in the Super Bowl is the Baltimore Ravens. I have them winning the AFC this year as well. A lot of people think that this is a team without Mike McDonald, and some of the losses they have taken could take a step back. I don't know. I think this could be the year that they take another step forward. What's your view on Baltimore?
Yeah, I obviously share your sentiments, Stormy. I just feel like, you know, I don't, you know, Michael gets on me for being Mr. Analytics. I just feel like they're a team that gets slept on year in and year out. And people just don't want to, you know, believe in Lamar Jackson. And I get they lose a lot of pieces. You lose McDonald as your DC. And now you have a year here of evidence and film on what that relationship looks like with it, you know, with the new offense that they installed last year. I'm such a believer, though, in Jackson. I know, you know, everyone's going to remember what they saw last, right? And it was just an absolute choke. I mean, let's call it what it was in the playoffs, where they completely abandoned their principles, abandoned what had gave them so much success in the regular season, and they fell flat. I mean, you're telling me they're just going to, you know, they're just going to reluctantly go into this year and say, all right, yeah, we're due to take a step back. We're going to let that hangover affect us all year. With a coach in John Harbaugh, who is as a veteran and, you know, and as well tested as anybody. So I certainly believe that they are being slept on a little bit. And it's not that every playoff team has to take a step back. You know, it's not like some magical formula here. There's a lot of nuance that goes into this. And I feel like you and I are a couple of the few people who actually believe in Baltimore sustaining this year.
Well, and for a team, by the way, that fell apart because they refused to run the football, when you add a guy like Derrick Henry, something tells me you're not going to abandon the run, but that's just me. Ben, appreciate your time so much. You're the best.
Great job,
hey, great
Ben.
To see,
enjoy those Doc Rivers moments, please, Ben.
Hey,
enjoy those Doc Rivers moments in Summer League. Yes, yes.
If we can
he
get
won't
Lawrence
coach Summer
Fishburne.
League. He doesn't have the time.
Yeah. Lawrence Fishburne, Doc Rivers, Michael, is who I'm rooting. If we get Lawrence Fishburne, Doc Rivers, I believe. But this is Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is not that's not a Doc Rivers.
It's the Bucks. You root for the Bucks. You root not a player. You root for a team. Let's be clear.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, you'll love all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com as well. We got best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips, trends, and betting news. Speaking of which, it's day one at the All England Club, and VSiN senior editor Zach Cohen is locked and loaded covering all things Wimbledon. Whether you're looking for daily match picks throughout the tournament, props, or quarter and winner selection, Zach's got everything you need to know on both the men's and women's side of the third Grand Slam of the year. Plus, it's football season, baby, already. I know it's June, but we're ready to go. The NFL betting guide is out now for VSiN Pro subscribers. If you haven't hit up VSiN.com yet, now is the time. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We had a great conversation moments ago with Ben Wilson talking about his hometown Green Bay Packers, and rumor has it our next guest is a believer in Green Bay as well. Former NFL wide receiver, now VSiN betting analyst, covers all things NFL from a betting standpoint these days with us. Mike Pritchard joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Also, might as well just throw it in there, won a college football national championship. Pritch, welcome into the show. How are we doing?
I'm doing great, Stormy. Michael, great to be with you. How you guys doing today?
Great. I mean, we're talking about, it's always football season here on this
That's
show,
right.
isn't it? So sell us on the Packers. Why are you a believer this year in the AFC North?
Well, I tell you what, it goes back to last year. I mean, I could start with Jordan Love and his 32 touchdown passes, right? I could do that. But understanding that the game is a young person's game, a young man's game, and it's an improvement game too. Just think about Jordan Love in his first full year as a starter and what he did with this outfit, a very young football team. If he gets better, if he improves like he should, I mean, this could turn into something really special with this player and with that roster. One of the things, too, that solidified it for me is the front office. You know, the succession plan from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, now apparently to Jordan Love, that's incredible to think about, right? But they have drafted well. They have a lot of talented players. They've kind of changed things up defensively. They changed things up in the backfield offensively as well. But it's a young team. And coached well. I think LaFleur, you know, separated himself, asserted himself, and got from underneath that shadow of Aaron Rodgers a little bit. There's a lot more momentum there for the Packers in my mind that can make a run for this thing in terms of that division. The Lions, they haven't, proposed to me that they can be consistent over time. They've been a flash in the pan at times, but. We'll see if they can carry it over into this year. But I really like what the Packers are doing and what they're all about.
I like Jeff Hafley, too. We just had Ben Wilson on, Mike, and he shares your optimism about the Packers, as I do, too. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting because I thought Aaron Jones, and I love your take on this, I thought Aaron Jones was the difference maker in their offense in the second half of the season when he finally got healthy. And obviously, I'm sure they're concerned about his ability to stay healthy.
Right.
And I think to me, Josh Jacobs gives them a little bit more power. Plus, he still can make plays in the passing game. I thought he was underutilized in the passing game for the Raiders.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. You know, the holdout and certainly the contract situation didn't do him any favors. He's AP rushing leader, you know, all pro, right? And then you don't sign him. And, you know, that's what the Raiders did, and that's what they chose to do. But I think getting started with this organization, a fresh start, and he is a dynamic player. And that acquisition, too, Michael and Stormy, it tells me that the Packers want to get more to that inside zone. You know, Aaron Jones was more of an outside zone, that kind of thing. But I think, you know, Josh Jacobs' inside zone and really some counters and some powers. You're right. I mean, that's just a different dimension for this Packers offense that we haven't seen, let alone what Jordan Love can do with that 11 personnel and those receivers that he has as well.
Parity in terms of the odds at the top, the Packers are plus 210 in the division. The Lions a plus 150 favorite, and the Bears sitting there at plus 265 as well. Win total for Green Bay, 9.5. Let's go to the NFC South here because it's another division with a lot of intrigue from an odds standpoint where you have the Atlanta Falcons, who with the addition of Kirk Cousins are an odds-on favorite now, but a lot of people really like the Saints. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won the division the last 3 years, and according to our betting guide, only Wes Reynolds is believer in the Carolina Panthers in the division. Taking a shot, hey, if not in June, when? But when you look at this division, what stands out to you most, and does anybody really have an edge in your opinion?
That I have third-degree burns betting on this division. I mean, I was riding with the Saints a few years ago when they had everything going for them. They underachieved. I thought the Atlanta Falcons could go worse to first. You know, going 7-10, having one of the easiest schedules, the schedule really lined up for them. Okay, they can win 10 games, right? They can win a division. That doesn't happen. So to another degree of burns right there. So this one, throw darts at the board for this division, to be honest with you. I am a wait-and-see approach. There's no futures at all on my card or even in my thought process for this division. I got to find out who can prove themselves and who can overachieve the most. You know, they can underachieve. We've seen that. They've proven that year in and year out. But can a team rise to the occasion and certainly take hold of this division? I'm on a wait-and-see approach with that one.
All right, so we're throwing darts. I mean, we're not Phil Taylor, the greatest dart thrower of all time, but let's throw darts, and let's keep the dart throwing in the South, but let's just shift it to the AFC South because I have no idea. I'm going to say I'm not throwing a dart at Tennessee. I'm just going to say that I don't trust Will Levis. But the other three teams, I really don't know where to go. I know everybody's going to say, well, you got to go with Houston. No, I don't. because I thought Houston was got fortunate at the end of the year. Where are you on the NFC South? AFC Danilo, South, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Danilo Hunter. I mean, I think that pickup right there, I don't know what the Vikings were thinking about, but if you're D'Amico Ryans and you are loading up your defense as well as loading up that offense, and they are young, and one of the things that stands out to me each and every year, Michael and Stormy, is that, you know, injuries are going to take precedent at some point. Older rosters are going to wear down. If you can find a team that's really, really young, coached very well, and can look to improve, sprinkle in some savvy veterans too, that's going to be consistent. That to me is the consistency that you should look for as a better for a team. I think the Texans have the makings of that. I just talked about Detroit and the lack of consistency with that organization over decades. Well, the same kind of thing goes with Houston, but it seems like they've turned the corner a bit, because that roster, I'm looking forward to the improvements with that roster. So, I would ride along with Houston, to be honest with you, just in that division. Mm-hmm. I think AR with the Colts would be interesting. We'll see what happens there. Tennessee will be happy to see what happens with the new coach too. But I think the Texans right now, if I were to make a bet from a future standpoint, it would be with the Texans.
Yeah, a little over even money, plus 105 to win the division. Jacksonville was an odds-on favorite going into last season. They're plus 275 in the market. The Kansas City Chiefs are favored to make history and three-peat, win a third straight Super Bowl, plus 500 the price right now. And it seems like year in and year out, we give ourselves plenty of reasons to doubt the Kansas City Chiefs, yet they continue to climb the mountain. As you look at this Chiefs team in 2024, season win total set at 11.5. You have Spagnuolo coming back as defensive coordinator. Chris Jones is back. Travis Kelce is back. Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. The core is here. Is that enough to get you where you want to go once again? Or if not, who's the biggest competition for Kansas City for a Super Bowl?
Well, the core is enough, to be honest with you, Stormy. I think Andy Reid will reinvent this offense once again. I mean, think about all the speed that he has. I think they're going to go back and move away from matriculating the football and go back to that air raid phase that he had with Tyreek Hill. With all this speed, Hollywood Brown and Worthy, I mean, all this stuff, and then underneath stuff as well, I think Patrick Mahomes could put up some ungodly-like numbers if everything goes according to plan. They can rely on that defense, right? They drafted very well on that side of the ball. They won a Super Bowl with the pups. Now these guys are growing up into their own. I think they can take more chances that way. If I were to look for a team that could upend that, certainly, you know, I mentioned the Packers. I'm high on the Steelers. I don't know how many people are. I think they're a unique outfit. But the Ravens, certainly, we'll find out a lot in that first game. But the Ravens, and in that whole AFC North thing, that's why I'm high on the Steelers, because I think that thing is so competitive. But the Ravens look to be a team that can get in the mix. I'm reluctant to go with the Cowboys just because, I just talked about Burns, lame duck situation with both coach and quarterback. That scares me a little bit. But I think the Ravens are a team that you got to watch out for this year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with your concern about the Cowboys. I think that lame duck always is a factor. You know, people think players, you know, will play better, but I think when everybody's a lame duck, it's kind of a little bit hard. Without that pat on the back, it becomes even more difficult.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pritch, you're amazing. Thank you so much for the time, my friend.
Thanks, Pritch.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
VSiN lead NFL analyst Mike Pritchard right there. Always appreciate his time. When we come back, we will continue diving into the divisions in the NFC. And we got some breaking news in the NBA as the free agent frenzy continues on July 1st. Klay Thompson plans to join the Dallas Mavericks on a 3-year, $50 million deal. We'll get into that when we return.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide out now. The guide is jam-packed with everything you need to be more informed as the NFL season approaches. We've got in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for each, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns from the executive and trend perspective, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, and a whole lot more, including, of course, best bets from our VSiN experts for props, season win totals, and awards markets, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year, the list goes on. Whether you're a season better or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed betting. VSiN.com/guide is how you can get your copy now. VSiN.com/guide. We're wrapping things up here on the Lombardi line. We do have more NFL divisions that we want to dive into. Our picks from the guide, which again, out now, get in there while you can. But we have some big news in the NBA. And Michael, this is a deal that actually, I believe I saw in the commercial break, perhaps a smile on your face. Like, it was a move that you liked. We're finally moving on from the Philadelphia 76ers of it all. And something interesting happened. So Klay Thompson has officially moved on from the Golden State Warriors, signed with the Dallas Mavericks.
You know, I think I'm becoming a Mavericks fan. I really am. I'm enjoying them. I like them. I like Luka. I think Kyrie's emergence as a changed human being is remarkable. But, I mean, think about it. The Mavericks, P.J. Washington didn't shoot the ball well in the playoffs. And Klay, who we know can shoot threes, he's a spot-up three-point shooter. The double teams that were coming at Luka, the double teams that were coming at Kyrie, we saw them, and they just couldn't make those three, whether it was Derrick Jones or whether it was P.J., they weren't making them. Now they get Klay, who's going to be left pretty much alone. So they trade out Derrick Jones and Josh Green for Klay and Nigel Marshall. I think they've upgraded their roster. I like the Klay signing. 3 years, $50 million. It's a sign and trade. They have to send Josh Green. I think they send him to Charlotte. And so I don't quite I don't understand how it all works, but it works that way. They got one guy going that way, the other guy not getting anything. But anyway, they make it work, and Klay ends up in Dallas. So much for LeBron taking less, okay? Let's understand it. LeBron was going to take less money so that they could sign Klay.
Yeah, reportedly had a phone call with Klay, and it didn't work out for him to stay in California. He wants to go somewhere else, where to me, from a fit standpoint and a desire to win standpoint, Dallas is probably the best spot. Like, not that he wants to stick it to Golden State for not giving him a contract, but if you want to and you want to win and you want to show them what they're missing, I feel like Dallas is a great spot. And you talk about the way that Luka and Kyrie play and the way that they're going to be defended. He can just stand pat at the three-point line, catch and shoot, and be that guy. Like, even though his numbers, yes, have taken a dip, he's still a really effective shooter who knows how to play with a star. And he's going to be on the court with one in Luka Doncic. He knows that this is your show, and I'm just here to do what I can to be that missing piece for success. I love the addition for Dallas. I think this is great. It'll be fun. And this is going to be a better version of the Mavericks now with him on it than what we saw there at the end of the NBA postseason.
Yeah, let's hope so. So, this is so many moving parts before we get to the summer league, but I like this move for the Mavericks. I really do. Because there's very few moves that you watch, that you listen to, that has the team really improved? Like, I think San Antonio has really improved. I think, obviously, they're going to get older with Wemby, and then they add Chris Paul to give them some leadership. So I think they're improving. I think Oklahoma City has definitely improved. I think with the additions that they've made, re-signing some of their own and adding Caruso and adding Hartenstein, I think that certainly has helped.
Not a ton of odds movement with this happening about 5-10 minutes ago, but from plus 500 in the Western Conference to plus 475, a slight move there. OKC and Denver, your co-favorites at 4-1, but the Dallas Mavericks right there on the edge. Okay, last little bit here. Let's get back to the NFL. Earlier in the show, we broke down our division picks in the guide for the AFC divisions. Now we're going to do the same exercise in the NFC. And we are very simpatico, it appears here, Michael. We are 4-for-4 the same in our division picks. I don't know if that's a good thing or a dangerous thing. But here, why don't you go?
You go first.
Oh, they're the same,
first.
Michael.
I went first the last time.
They're the same. Can go through it.
Yeah. I mean, how could you? I think Pritch was right. Like, I don't trust that. I think Dallas overachieved last year. I don't think they underachieved. And I think Philly's roster is really good. And I'm not saying Philly's going to win everything, but I just have a hard time believing Washington, the Giants. I mean, those are teams that are just not ready to compete with the Eagles or the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys, when you don't win on the road, that tells me your offensive line isn't good enough. Yeah. And so I just couldn't go there with two rookies potentially starting in the offensive line for the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's a division of the haves and have-nots, absolutely. And the Eagles should have won the division last year, but obviously we know how things fell apart at the back end of the season. Cowboys win. There's not been a repeat division champ in the NFC East since 2004. And, looking at the guide and the selections here, it seems like we're all pretty much in that thought process, which is why Philadelphia has taken so much money and gotten down to the price that they're at even money. 18 of our 21 experts, hosts that have put their opinions in here were on Philly, just three on Dallas. The NFC West, minus 195 the price. I'm not going to the counter rushing to bet the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC West, but I do think that they're going to win again. I think that for as high as I am on the Rams for getting better this season and taking another step from what ultimately ended up being like a year we thought was going to be a rebuild year, they win double digits and make the playoffs last year. Seattle is a team I know you've talked a lot about, and we did today on the show as well, that's improving. And with Mike McDonald, that defense should be, at least a good chunk better than we saw last year just from his guidance and leadership alone. But I don't think that they're there in the division just yet. So for me, it's San Francisco. That's the only real option in the NFC West, in my opinion. As according to the guide as well, that's pretty much across the board how everyone feels. And I landed on Detroit and the Saints in the NFC North and NFC South. And you did as well, obviously, but I'm curious your opinion on this for the Saints specifically, because as Mike Pritchard said, he feels like that division, even still with the Falcons as an odds-on favorite, is just throwing a dart at a dartboard in this division. What made you settle on New Orleans?
Well, I settled there because I think defensively they're the best team. I think they proved it with 4 out of 5 wins. They go into Tampa at the end of the year last year and won that game. I think Dennis Allen is a better defensive coordinator than he is a head coach. I admit that, even though he's still the head coach of the Saints. I just think, to me, they'll have a better opportunity. And I think, look, their offensive line has to be better than it was last year. And Carr, who I call the Ricky Fowler of the NFL, when it doesn't matter, he plays great. When it matters, it's not so good. And that always makes me nervous. But the reality here is, who is good in the South? Like, that's why I asked Pritch, throw a dart up against that board, because I don't know who's good. And I was going to go with the defensive team, and I'm going to go with the, I think they got to get Kamara under contract and get that situation handled. But I do think their offensive line improving, and they should have enough weapons on offense to be successful.
No love for the Bucs in the division, it appears, who have won 3 straight division titles, including last year, their first season without Tom Brady. Baker Mayfield led them to not only a division win, but a playoff win against the Philadelphia Eagles here. 5 people, including the 2 of us, were on New Orleans. Everybody else on the Falcons, with the exception of Wes Reynolds, who picked the Panthers, but nobody on the Bucs to win the division yet again. And the NFC North, I think, is interesting, too. I agree with everything that we were talking about earlier in the show, with that that's a division where there are options, and that Green Bay is certainly a team capable of being on the rise. A lot of people like Chicago and believe that Caleb Williams can be a big piece of turning that organization around with the weapons that they have around him on offense, and a defense that seemed to take a big step forward at the end of last season. But Detroit, for me, is still the team to beat, coming off of what was their first division title since 1993 last year. I am such a believer in everything that Dan Campbell has done to turn that franchise around. Jared Goff and that offense should be live again to put a ton of points up on the board. And if their defense improves a little bit, like they worked on getting pieces in that secondary, I think they're going to be very, very competitive and tough to overcome in the division.
Yeah, I was back and forth. Do I go Green Bay or the Lions? And I felt exactly like you felt. I felt like the battle tested, you have to win a home game. You just don't go from a playoff team, from a first time playoff team, to the Super Bowl. I think it's really challenging. So I think you need those residuals to build up as you go through it. And I kind of felt like the Lions game against the 49ers gave them that. And so for me, I went Lions over Packers. I went back and forth. I think the Bears are going to be way too young to compete there, so I didn't give them. And Minnesota, I just don't know what to expect offensively from Sam Darnold or J.J. McCarthy, depending on who they go with in their offense. But I do like O'Connell, and I think they'll be better. But I went Lions with you there, too. To me, it was a toss-up. In the South, NFC South, I just felt like, to me, nobody's going to think it's the Saints, so I went with them because I think they do have a good defense, and I do think that if Carr plays within himself, they have a chance.
Yeah, no doubt about it. To wrap up those thoughts on the NFC North, just from a historical standpoint for those interested, The Lions won last year for the first time since 1993. Minnesota won in 22. Green Bay, prior to that, won 3 straight and 8 of 11 before missing out on the division crown each of the last 2 years. Obviously, all of those seasons with Aaron Rodgers. Can Jordan Love help this Green Bay team to take that next step? Lions plus 150, the Packers plus 210, and the Bears plus 265 in the division. Not a soul picked Chicago in our betting guide, despite those odds, which are pretty short there at the top. That's a wrap for us today. If you didn't get enough football, the Ross Tucker Football Show is coming up next on DraftKings Network, and Patrick Maher and Sharp Money on VSiN.